How are you doing this Monday? Are you well? Thanks for joining me. First live Richie Allen show of the week. It's myself, the BBG. October 4th, 2021. I will be taking your phone calls this afternoon. I'll give you the details in a moment. From shortly after 5:30 p.m., I'm really looking forward to hearing from you. So I am today.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. This is your Richie Allen show, live from the magnificent city of Salford.
It's the Richie Allen show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yes, your call. I will be running down the big news stories of the day very soon. You can comment on any of that by going to my website, richieallen.co.uk. At the top of the page, it says comment live. If you click on that, you shouldn't have any difficulty at all commenting live. Live. So drop me a message, tell me what you're thinking, or do give me a call a little bit later on in the programme. Do give me a call. Please consider calling me if you've never done before. This is how you do it.
It's your call. Skype. Chat with Richie. Or call 0161 818 2018. If you're calling from overseas, it's plus 44 161 818 2018. Talk to Richie now.
Yeah, not quite now. Leave it until, as I said, around about 25 minutes to the top of the hour. It's your call. It's your call. It's your call. Now, somebody is telling me, not that it makes too much difference to me. Well, maybe it does a little bit. There's some issue with Facebook, is there? Is Facebook down, is it? Over 1 billion people now, 1.5 billion people using Facebook. Is it offline, is it? Is it? I don't know. I don't have a Facebook page. My friend looks after a Richie Allen Show page and he gives me the login. And I can contact my friend Jean-Anne Crowley sometimes through Facebook. Is Facebook down, is it? Or is it just that we've been kicked off Facebook? I've no idea. Let me know. Sure, why not? It's a Monday. Tell me. 2 minutes past five. Running down the top stories today before taking your calls. But before I do that, I had an email from Ken, which I forwarded to my friend Hayden Hewitt, minus, of course, Ken's details. There are data protection laws, you see, in play here in Blighty. You can't just be sharing people's information. But I had an email from Ken, and it did make me chuckle. It's genuine. Let me read it for you. It's a very short email. Very short one indeed. Richie, please, says Ken, please, can you interview a Rothschild and find out what the devil is going on? Or go out on location to their manor and find to interview them? Double question mark. Can you interview a Rothschild and find out what the devil is going on? Get out there to Rothschild Manor and find out. Well, sure, no problem. No problem. I can only imagine how that would go, you know. Hey? Anyone in there? Anyone? Anyone? All right. Hello, Jacob Rothschild. It's Richie Allen from The Richie Allen Show. Jacob, what the devil is going on, old chap? What the devil is going on?
Release the hounds.
What? Jesus. A genuine from Ken. Genuine, can you please interview a Rothschild and find out what's going on with everything? I'll get back to you, Ken. I'll get back to you, Ken. This is interesting. The Conservative Party is in Manchester. You know this now. They're in Manchester City Centre. It is political party conference season. Labour last week in Brighton. Tories up here. It's become traditional in recent years for the Tories to come and have their conference in Manchester. Mentioned on Sunday Morning Melodies yesterday, oh, there was a time when they wouldn't have dared. But here they are. The Chancellor of the Exchequer is a guy called Rishi Sunak, once of Goldman Sachs. You probably know. If not, you won't be surprised. Here he is talking today, briefly, about artificial intelligence. He's talking, the Chancellor, the man, with his fingers on the nation's purse strings, about artificial intelligence.
Take artificial intelligence, once the stuff of science fiction. Now it's reality, and we are a global leader. The steam engine, kicked off the Industrial Revolution. Computers delivered automation. The internet brought information exchange. And as the latest general-purpose technology, AI has the potential to transform whole economies and societies. If artificial intelligence were to contribute just the average productivity increase of those three technologies, that will be worth around £200 billion a year to our economy. And so today, I'm announcing that we will create 2,000 elite AI scholarships for disadvantaged young people and double the number of Turing AI world-leading research fellows, helping to ensure that the most exciting industries and opportunities are open to all parts of our society.
Yeah. So 2,000 elite scholarships, 2,000 elite AI scholarships for the country's most disadvantaged. Of course, this is a speech to conference, so we didn't really get into the details of what that would mean. I meant to share with you last week, last Wednesday, an article written in the Times newspaper by Hugo Rifkind. If you are a Times reader, you may have come across it. Rifkind interviewed a man called Mo Gaudat. I think that's how it's pronounced. It's spelt Golf, Alpha, Whiskey, Delta, Alpha Tango. Mo Gaudat. He is a former chief business officer of Google X, the Blue Sky Thinking Division of Google. And he's got a book out, this guy, Mo Gaudat. It's called Scary Smart, The Future of Artificial Intelligence and How You Can Save Our World. It's a really interesting interview by Rifkind with this former Google guy about the danger of artificial intelligence. The guy believes, Gaudat, is that we will hit the singularity. Now, you've probably heard that term mentioned a few times in recent years. That's when artificial intelligences become brighter than us. Well, they become self-aware and eclipse us, eclipse humanity, as the smartest conscious beings on the planet. They would not be controllable and we wouldn't be able to understand them. He says, does Gaudat, in the Times interview, we wouldn't be able to understand them any more than cockroaches can understand or control us. They would have the power to crush us. And this guy Gaudat says that we should dispense with the notion that we can change course with regard to super intelligent artificial intelligence. He says it's too late because super intelligent AI is coming whether we like it or lump it. There's no possibility that it will not arrive, he tells the Times, or he told the Times last Wednesday. And he gave an interesting example. Let me show you the example. In the near future, there's a woman shopping online for an Audi. She likes the Audi car. She wants an Audi or an Audi A4. So she goes to the website, Audi.de, right? And she designs the car she wants, the colour, the leather seats and all of that. And then she decides to spend a day or two thinking about it. Within minutes, though, seconds, milliseconds, she's being targeted by BMW with images of a near-identical alternative car. The AI has figured out what she wants and how likely she is to buy it and where to put the ad. No human, this guy Mo Gaudat, formerly of Google, no human could ever do what those intelligence machines could do. We're too slow. And he talked about how back in 2009, and you might know this, or you might remember it, Google X left an artificial intelligence watching YouTube. And all by itself, you'll remember, the artificial intelligence began looking for cat videos. Remember that? Now, a few years later, skip on, Google buys DeepMind, the artificial intelligence startup, right? And this guy was working there at the time, this guy Mo Gaudat was working there at the time, and he was at a confidential briefing, so he was. And he learned at the briefing that artificial intelligence was learning how to play computer games on Atari. And after 4 hours, the AI began playing really well. After 5 hours, it started to figure out new strategies that hadn't been considered by any human player. And after 6 hours, it was the best player on the planet. And this guy, again, formerly of Google, this author, he says, the reality is we are creating God, he says, but only it's worse than that. Because if you think about it, he says, every technology we've ever built magnifies human abilities. So you can walk at 5 miles per hour or get in a car and drive it at 200 miles per hour. This technology is going to do two things, he says, AI. It's going to magnify humanity a millionfold, then a billionfold, and it's going to be autonomous. So he talks about how we are treating artificial intelligence in 2021. What are we doing with it? And he says, well, consider it to be like a beautiful innocent child in 2021. What are we doing with it? Well, we're using it to sell, to gamble, to spy and to kill. That's what we're doing with it today, right? So he likens this to treating a child very badly, giving a child very bad habits. You know, you can bring a child up to be an artist or a musician. You can bring a child up to be an amazing, empathetic human being. Or you could beat the child. Teach the child how to kill, how to do all of these other things, terrible things that we are, not we, of course, not you and me, but these lunatics are doing with artificial intelligence. And he says the way we are teaching them, it's going to turn them into absolute supervillains. And I remember some years ago, I had an interview with a guy called Rich Terrell, who did work and might very well still work for NASA. Never a straight answer. NASA, right? And he was a lovely interviewee. We talked about the universe possibly being holographic. And he said to me in the interview that he thinks his best guess would be that the universe is a simulation. That's what he said. That was his opinion, and we had a really good chat about it. Then we talked about the concerns about the singularity. And Rich Terrell said to me that he wouldn't be too concerned about the time, that event in history, that time when the computers become autonomous, become far more intelligent than we are, and begin to act of their own volition. Don't worry about it, Richie, he said. I said, wouldn't they think the planet is better off without us? And he said he believed that these things would probably go exploring this universe and multiverses. They'd be far more interested in exploration than enslaving or murdering humanity. That was his opinion. Fascinating to hear Sunak talk about AI today, when so many men and women of science are, not to put too fine a point on it, terrified about the capability of this stuff in the near future. What do you think? Maybe we'll get into some of this in the phone-in. Maybe we won't. We never know where the phone-in is going to go. By the way, I'll be taking your calls in around about 25 minutes' time.
It's your call. Skype. Chat with Richie. Or call 0161 818 2018. If you're calling from overseas, it's +44 161 818 2018. Talk to Richie now.
Talk to me, goddammit. Talk to me, goddammit. So you'll be talking to me. Please don't phone in if you phoned in recently. If you're brand new and you've never done it, phone in. I'm nice. I'm really nice. I really am. Hey, they really want us to wear the masks this winter. Oh yeah, big time, big time, big time. They big time want the masks to become permanent. They really do. Have a listen to BBC Radio 5 Live. They conducted a whole phone-in this morning on the masks. Listen to Lawrence Young, Professor of Molecular Oncology at Warwick University. Lawrence Young, the professor, is speaking with Nikki Campbell. God, Nikki Campbell, have a listen to this.
We've all lived under this terrible regime over the last 18 months or so, and so it's perfectly understandable that we want to break free. But I think there's a difference between breaking free and being sort of complacent about what is still quite a serious infection. We've got very high levels of daily infections. We're hearing all the time of, I'm hearing all the time of schools really suffering at the moment. And we know that up to last week, more than 100,000 youngsters are off school again because of COVID. COVID. You know, there is an issue. I accept that the evidence around face masks is a bit patchy. A lot of it comes from laboratory studies that you've mentioned, Nikki, but we know that the preponderance of evidence indicates that mask wearing does reduce transmissibility, and mainly because the masks trap the infectious particles if you yourself are infected. And remember, the big problem with COVID-19 is that it's extremely transmissible even if you don't have symptoms.
That, dear listener, is horse shite.
It's extremely transmissible even if you don't have symptoms.
No, asymptomatic transmission is an invention. It is an invention of the COVID spoofers, the liars. Asymptomatic transmission. They turned science on its head last year. Turned it on its head. Without fear. Without fear of criticism. Without fear of intervention by the world's media. They just turned it on its head and just started making shit up as they went along. That you could be completely asymptomatic. Not a sneeze, not a cough, not a fever, nothing. But you could be a deadly carrier of the COVID germs. Nonsense. I know this to be nonsense because I've heard many learned men and women in the last 18 months say this is nonsense, but they continue to get away with this lie.
It's extremely transmissible even if you don't have symptoms.
Bullshit. Anyway, let's hear a bit more from him.
So what the face mask does, particularly surgical masks, is prevent a lot of those droplets from spreading.
You see, trying to prevent microscopic germs or microscopic viral particles escaping a mask is akin to using, I've said this a thousand times, using a chain link fence to protect yourself against mosquitoes. That's a fact. And I remember my great friend and colleague Hayden Hewitt telling me last year when he would take his young boy, Junior, to school that he would laugh out loud at these people in the playground with the masks on because the temperature would be pretty cold. Right? And he would see their exhalations, their CO2 jetting out from the mask in all directions. This is nonsense. But they are determined. They are determined that we take the mask wearing on board and that it becomes a permanent thing. More from this guy.
So you are protecting other people. And if you wear cloth masks or you double mask, you can
double mask.
You can protect yourself from being infected with these little respiratory droplets.
So double masks.
So the evidence is there. And at the moment, I know
there's no evidence there. And he began the answer by saying that the evidence is sketchy or patchy, he said. He went from the evidence is patchy into the evidence is there that these things protect you and protect others around you.
At the moment, lots of people have decided they don't want to wear them. And I think that is a concern as we head into what could be a very challenging winter.
Complacency. Listen, there are two schools of thought as well, Lauren.
This is the absolutely insufferable Nikki Campbell.
It's about wearing masks. Some say if you wear a mask, you are conscious of the threat of this virus and it encourages you to also socially distance, which is all part of the safety picture. Others say that if you wear a mask, you get complacent because you think that protects you, so you don't need to socially distance. What's the truth?
I don't know. I
know you're a virologist, not a behaviourist. I mean, to be fair.
Yeah, no, that's right, exactly. But I do know you're absolutely right. There's a psychology, and the psychology is that those people wearing masks are taking a responsibility and feeling more about the society they live in.
But there are other people who are wearing a mask and think, I'm wearing a mask, I'm fine. I don't need to. I can hug someone because we're both wearing masks.
I've not seen that.
I've seen masked people hugging each other.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. Nikki Campbell, eh?
But there are other people who are wearing a mask and think, I'm wearing a mask, I'm fine. I don't need to. I can hug someone because we're both wearing masks.
I've not seen that.
I've seen masked people hugging each other.
He's seen masked people hugging each other. The bastards. The absolute insensitive, amoral bastards. Insensitive and amoral. People wearing masks hugging one another. You know he's adopted, Campbell. You know he's adopted. You think his mother knew when she got a first look at him, when the doctor handed him over? Do you think his mother knew? Get fucking rid straight away, eh? Eh? Campbell then asked him this.
Why is this cold that's going around at the moment so virulent?
This is a good question, isn't it?
Why is this cold that's going around at the moment so virulent? I want a virologist's word on the virulence of this cold. Yeah. What's the science there? Because I know so many people have got this cold and they say it's the worst cold they've ever had. And it ain't COVID. That's the point.
the vaccine. The vaccine.
That's the point. And it's also, I think, it doesn't all go very well for the winter. So what's happened, of course, is we've all been more or less locked up for 18 months and our immune systems haven't been exposed to the normal coughs and colds and the various viruses we get exposed to. And so our immune system, which is usually tweaked up every year by being exposed to these things, hasn't had that over the last 18 months. It's why there's so little flu last year and why we're very concerned about flu this year.
Yeah. Why is the cold so bad this time around? Well, last year, we didn't have any colds or we didn't have any flus. We didn't have anything, really. And that prevented our immune system getting the tweaking that it normally gets. We haven't had any. And now we're being exposed to them again. And, well, you know, they're just a bit worse than they normally are. How can the presenter just sit there? How can you just sit there and listen to that, eh? But they do. They do. They do. And if you think that's bad, Ireland is a basket case. There are plans in Ireland to give the flu jab this winter to two-year-olds. Yes. Because there wasn't a single lab-confirmed case of flu in Ireland last year. Not a single. Not one. In a population of 5 million is it now, in Ireland, not a single lab-confirmed case of flu. Not one. Why? Well, because of the COVID restrictions. Just like that dipstick said to Nicky Campbell. Yeah, yeah. But that means that the Irish won't get away with it this year. They won't get away lightly for the same reasons. So people with weak immune systems, the elderly, pregnant women and children as young as 2 are being told to get their flu jab. The chief clinical officer with Ireland's Health Service Executive is a guy called Dr. Colm Henry. He was on News Talk with a woman called Ciara Kelly, who used to be a doctor. Feast your ears, you will hear Ciara Kelly first.
Okay, I suppose two key issues here. First of all, with regard to the flu vaccination campaign, I was looking at the various groups, the over 65s, healthcare workers, people who are pregnant, people who have any kind of level of undermined health themselves, but also children aged 2 to 17. That's an interesting one.
Yes, we did introduce this vaccine last year. It wasn't taken up in huge numbers. I mean, we know from the UK their experience. I think they introduced it back in 2014, and it was sluggish to begin with. It takes a while for new vaccines to get a grip and to capture the, I suppose, the imagination to be embraced by the public. So
it takes a while for the vaccines to capture the imagination of the public. Are you listening to this, dickhead?
We're hoping for a greater uptake of this vaccine between the age of 2 and 17. Last year, perhaps a little bit disappointing, with 29% of those between 2 and 14 took the vaccine.
What? It was disappointing last year, was it, that only 29% of 2 to 14-year-olds took it? Why was it disappointing? There wasn't any flu last season.
This vaccine between the age of 2 and 17 last year, perhaps a little bit disappointing, with 29% of those between 2 and 14 took the vaccine.
A huge amount of the vaccines for children last year were wasted, isn't that fair to say?
Yes, it just did.
But they would have been wasted anyway, because you didn't have any flu last year, or anything else for that matter. Wow.
Did not reach the numbers we would have liked to reach. But on the other...
And by the way, the flu jab, because it isn't a vaccine either, it is effective, on average, about 7% of the time. It's that bad.
On the flip side of that, we saw extraordinary levels of uptake with older people, those over 65, about 71%. Big increase in healthcare workers. And Ciara, we had problems with...
Maybe if so many over 65s didn't take the flu vaccine, not so many of them would end up in intensive care in hospital with very bad flus, very bad bronchial problems and pneumonias maybe, if they didn't take the flu jab. Just a thought.
Problems with this, to be honest, over the past few years, getting healthcare workers. But we saw in the acute hospital sector 71%. Now, some hospitals were extraordinary, particular acknowledgement to Drogheda, for example, where you saw, I think, 85% of workers within that hospital setting taking the vaccine. So there's some good work to build on, definitely.
I presume you would urge anyone eligible for the flu vaccine to take it and to get it.
No flies on her, eh? No flies on her. Presumably you'll urge everyone who's eligible to get it. Does a bear shit in the woods, Ciara? Eh? Does a bear shit in the woods? I would have thought so.
Yes, please do. Of course, it would. We're launching that today, and we're if you like, three separate groups, Ciara. The first is those age over 65 years of age, you've mentioned already. The second is children between 2 and 17. And the third is those with chronic disease from 17 up to 65. And those are well known. Those people will know from contact with their GPs and pharmacists in previous years. And you've mentioned people who are pregnant, those with long-term conditions, those with particular conditions, long-term residential care settings, healthcare workers, of course, and survivors of cancer and those. These are people who are particularly vulnerable to the worst effects of flu, and we want to protect them. And it has been interesting here. One of the curious figures from last year was we had no cases of lab-confirmed flu at all, probably because of the fact that people were in their homes and the social distancing. But I don't think we're going to get away that lightly this year.
No, clearly not. And perhaps we might suffer quite a bit considering that there was no sort of flu season last year worth mentioning. We're only 2.5 weeks out, really, from the easing of almost all restrictions.
God, she's useless, isn't she? Isn't she, Pat?
You have got me there. As useless as tits on a boar.
She's as useless as tits on a boar. It couldn't be any simpler as tits on a boar. This is your Richie Allen Show.
The Richie Allen Show is the world's most popular independent news radio show. Listen on demand via your regular podcast provider.
Yeah, you can do that if you don't catch it live. I'll be taking your calls in about 15 minutes' time.
It's your call. Skype. Chat with Richie. Or call 0161 818 2018. If you're calling from overseas, it's +44 161 818 2018. Talk to Richie now.
26 minutes past the hour, the 4th of October 2021. Your Richie Allen Show with me, your BBG, live from BBG Towers. How many times can I say BBG in one sentence? As many as I want, I suppose. Hi to Bill. Bill says, notice how he keeps saying people who are pregnant rather than saying women. That tells me everything I need to know about Colm Henry. Yes. By the way, thanks, Jonathan Stone, for sending me a link to that clip. Thank you, Jonathan. Aaron Gabra. All right, Jonathan. Yes, it's mad stuff, isn't it? Isn't it? She used to be a GP, apparently. Ciara Kelly. Joan says, Richie, I've not had a flu vax ever and I don't intend to start with any fecking vaccines. They are getting so desperate, says Joan. Amen, Joan. Pandora says they want to kill, not protect. You might be right. Faisal says, disappointing for big pharma profits for sure. Yes, of course. Absolutely right, Faisal. Disappointing last year. Disappointing we had such a low uptake. 29% of 2 to 14 year olds. Very disappointing that only 29% of 2 to 14 year olds had the jab last year, even though you had no flu last year. So they were better off. They'd be better off anyway. Good point, Faisal. Yeah. But you know, the same pharmaceutical companies are behind this massive lie, this monumental bollocks of a lie that flu just disappeared last year. We know, of course, that's not true. We know that flu, well, it just changed its name to COVID. Very simple, really. As far as tactics go, you know, it's pretty smart. Anybody that coughed last year or even this year, COVID, said it before, no matter what's wrong with you, I have a big boil on my arse, doctor. Could you lance it for me, please? And give me a bit of disinfectant. It's COVID. It's COVID. Everything is COVID. It's all COVID. No matter what you have, pain in your neck, pain in your arm, pain in your arse. If you have a lump on your testicle, it's COVID until proven otherwise. But you don't get a chance to prove otherwise, do you? Hi to Linda, who says she will continue as a non-compliant individual as she began last year. They can shove their face coverings, tests, alcohol, anointing, genuflection, injectables in the darkest hole they can find. Very eloquent there, Linda, this evening. Hi to Joe Public, who says, if you double mask, there is no protection for idiocy. Good point, Joe. Did I or did I not see last year? Was it this year? Did Fauci, Tony Fauci, maybe he didn't do it, but did somebody in authority in the United States, did somebody recommend treble masking? I recollect. I'm pretty sure. Hi to Charlie Burton. God bless yourself, Charlie. How are you, pal? Good evening to Alan in Liverpool. Good evening to Pirate. Good evening to Dan, who says he doesn't fear anything that is amused by cat videos. Good point, Dan, but I think you're missing the overall point. It's the accelerated learning. That's the point this guy was making. to Hugo Rifkin of The Times, that accelerated learning, yeah. I must invite Rich Terrell back on the programme again to talk about the singularity. See what he says about it. Good evening to Dolores. Good evening to my pal, Joanne Boddington. How are you doing, Joanne? Who says, yes, Facebook does indeed seem to be down. I'm not a user of Facebook. I did get a ping. Did I get a ping from somebody earlier? I got an email from somebody who said, oh, Facebook is down. And somebody else said, they're preparing us for internet outage because it's happened quite a bit of late, has it? Facebook users, has it happened quite a bit of late? I don't know. The Conservative Party conference is going on. Desmond Swain, MP for Forest Green, who has been on this programme in the past, but he won't come on again after the abuse he got in the national press for coming on with me. Anyway, Desmond Swain was on Talk Radio with Julia Hartley Brewer, and they were talking vax passports. You will hear the presenter first.
Can I ask you also about vaccine passports? They were threatened to be coming in by now. They've not been brought in England. They have been brought in Scotland, although they're not enforcing it because basically they can't enforce it at the current time. Apps not working, etc., etc. We have seen, though, vaccine passports being brought in places like Italy, in Australia, where people are basically told, if you don't have the jab, you can't work. We've got five England footballers, a huge number of actually Premiership players who have not been jabbed, refused to get jabbed.
Yeah, just on that point, it's so rude to interrupt. On the point Julia Hartley Brewer is making, I mentioned this on Sunday Morning Melodies yesterday. I think the Mail Online is convinced that at least two-thirds of elite, that's the top division, the Premier League, two-thirds of footballers have not been jabbed. Very interesting.
Jabbed for their own reasons and who could possibly be banned from therefore playing in the World Cup in Qatar next year. Do you think it's likely that this government will actually bring in vaccine passports, or do you think that now is off the cards, even though there is a consultation that's going out right now?
Yeah, well, certainly the fact that it's been put off and put off is at least some encouragement. You know,
I mean, it wasn't required to attend this conference, was it?
No, exactly. And there was a suggestion that it once would. I received an invitation to number 10 just a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, which required me to show my vaccination status at the door when I made it absolutely plain that I would forgo the privilege of coming. That was changed. I just believe that we are a free country. People should be allowed to go about their lawful business without being required to produce medical information. And whilst I'm the greatest advocate of vaccination, would encourage anyone to get vaccinated, I don't believe that it's right to compel people to do so.
I wish that crusty old idiots like Desmond Swain would show a little bit of humility. You know, he must know now that it isn't a vaccine. It doesn't come anywhere close to being a vaccine. None of these jabs. He must know this now. So stop with the, you know, placating of tyrants by saying, trying to appease them by saying, I don't believe you should introduce vax passports, but, oh, but vaccines are great, and I really encourage people to take the vaccine. Do some homework, man. It isn't a vaccine. Doesn't work. Doesn't do what it said it would do. When they were waxing lyrical about this last summer, about how quickly they were going to rush this out. It's not a vaccine, it's a gene therapy treatment. And it's dangerous. It's already proven to be very dangerous for people. Show a little bit of humility, you know.
So, or to punish them.
Yeah, yeah, it's all very well saying, but what are you going to do about it? Ultimately, they will, of course, introduce COVID certification this winter. Of course they will. What are you going to do then, Desmond Swain? You and your mate Steve Baker, these COVID recovery group, these anti-lockdown guys, what are you going to do? You're going to do nothing except bitch about it from the back benches. That's how it goes. Wes, how you doing, Wes Baker? Yes. He says, join up the impending manufactured energy crisis with the intentional incremental destruction of the NHS, and you're going to have a hell of a winter. The new virtue signal will be the electric vehicles. energy subsidies for the needle-compliant vax passports. However, the cascading brownouts and destruction of the global supply chains over the next 6 months will make COVID-19-11 look like a walk in the park. Okay. Maybe. Yeah. It's possible, I suppose. Eventually, people will say it could be argued. I'll train you eventually. Because we don't know what's going to happen. We have a good idea what's going to happen. But it doesn't always pan out the way we think it will pan out. Good evening to Angela Lambert. Richie, I'm witnessing odd symptoms such as hair loss, which apparently is happening to some of the jabbed, and what seems to be prion disease, including very unusual things being said to me from people who previously were quite sane. They've all been double jabbed and some have had their boosters. That's interesting, Angela. In some people who've been jabbed, you are noticing or you are being told about hair loss. It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Hi to Paul, who says, Richie, you'll be surprised how many people I know that I would consider asleep that have said they're not going to take a booster now they've had two jabs. It could get interesting this winter next year. It might do indeed. There is a story on the Richie Allen website today, richieallen.co.uk. It's about Israel. I rather cheekily entitled it or gave it the heading, Mengele's Spirit is Alive and Well in Israel. Not to offend anybody, but because it's true. The Israelis are telling anybody that's had two jabs, they're saying to them, well, your green pass doesn't count. You've got to have the booster. So if you've got two jabs, your green pass is about to run out. It won't be activated again until you get the third jab. It's tyranny on steroids there. Just before we move this along, Peter Hitchens was on Talk Radio today with Mike Graham, and they were talking about policing in the wake of the murder of Sarah Everard by serving policeman Wayne Cousins, who is in jail for the rest of his life now. Again, a terrible, terrible thing. Hitchens, speaking to Mike Graham, was lamenting the transformation of policing over the last 20 to 30 years. The police used to be out and about trying to prevent crime. Now they're not. It's not anything that you don't know already, dear listener, but newer listeners are joining us all the time. It's interesting what Hitchens says here.
I seem to remember there used to be police on patrol in this country, and now there aren't any. Yeah. Where are they all gone? And I decided to find out why, and indeed whether I was right to think that. And a huge revolution in policing, which began in the 1960s, had in fact come to fruition round about that time. And two things had happened, and they are connected, but not directly. One is that they decided to stop doing the job they were originally formed to do, patrolling the streets to prevent crime and disorder and to reassure the public, and instead to drive around in cars or sit in offices waiting for things to happen, which is an absolute recipe for those things to happen. And as I so often have needed to point out since then, the police cannot un-burgle you. Mm. They cannot un-mug you. They cannot un-stab you. A policeman after a crime, unless he's or she is very good at first aid, is actually not much use. The point of them was always to prevent. They gave that up. At the same time, they became increasingly politicized. They were more and more centralized. The small local forces responsive to local needs were merged into great, big, distant forces that nobody had any control over at all. And they became increasingly absorbed by what we would now call politically correct or woke ideas, and less and less interested in crime. So that it's now become a joke that what I started saying 20 years ago, don't bother asking them about a burglary, don't bother asking them about a robbery, don't bother asking them about disorder in the street near you because they won't turn up. Mm. But if you say something which is politically incorrect, they'll be after you. And so it's people treat this as a joke, but actually the police officer of now is a paramilitary social worker, because together with this development has gone an enormous increase in the personal powers of police constables and the way they behave.
You wonder about Hitchens, don't you? What does he really know? He can't continue, can he, to believe that this is just coincidence, that it's bad management. I say this a thousand times. When does a guy like Hitchens accept the possibility that this isn't bad planning, that something else is going on? Anyway, it's fast approaching. 21 minutes to the top of the hour. I will be taking your phone calls and your Skypes in 3 minutes. Please bear in mind there will be lots of people trying to get through. If you've been on with me recently, don't call me today. If you've never been on with me, please consider giving me a call. I'd love to hear from you, so I would.
It's your call. Skype, chat with Richie, or call 0161 818 2018. If you're calling from overseas, it's plus 44 161 818 2018. Talk to Richie now.
And all of that information is on the website richieallen.co.uk. The phone numbers and the Skype chat as well. Gilbert O'Sullivan then, your call's next. Gilbert O'Sullivan on the Richie Allen Show. Waterford man, of course, great man in Waterford. It's 18 minutes to 6 o'clock, straight to the mobile phones. Folks, if you hear me speaking with somebody, just be a bit patient. Your time will come. Let's say, caller, good evening. Who am I speaking with?
Hiya, my name's Liam.
Liam, welcome to the programme. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I always feel a bit better while I'm listening to you, to be honest, because it's just disseminating everything that's going around us. And I just wanted to say something. I just felt, because you've got like loyal listeners that are very good at leaving comments about things and stuff like that, I thought about how, I mean, sometimes some people are doing very well with coping with things in this, around this madness, and others we kind of struggle with it. And if they have any tips for keeping yourselves going or something like that, because I mean, sometimes I will be fine, other times it will just hit me, and I just, little things like that that might help. Really
good question, Liam. When this comes up, I do get quite, I know immediately now that you've said this, I know immediately on the website people will refer to things like stand in the park on Sunday mornings. Have you looked into any of that?
I have looked into it, yeah, and I've just it's like something to help me, but also something to help others. I'm kind of getting very mindful of how people are dealing with things. And I know a lot of them are struggling. I feel quite fortunate myself that I have a few very good friends that I can talk to about all this stuff with, and who see things in a more logical point of view. But sometimes, you know, it can hit you anyway. Like if I speak for myself for a minute, one thing that I've found that helps immensely is that I have no TV news at all in the house now. I literally mute it or turn the TV off when it comes on, because I figure if something important happens, I'm going to find out about it anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't need that last thing at night. And it's helped me tenfold, because I will listen to it every now and then in the day, but never past like 5 o'clock in the evening, because it's just in your head then, isn't it, all night. And it's just,
we've heard from a few people recently, Liam, haven't we? I think on this programme we've heard from a few people who said similar to you. They said, I've just gotten rid of it, Richie. I don't spend any time on it anymore, and I've noticed a huge difference. I think that's a good start anyway, Liam, is not to listen to it, because it is dreadful. I mean, it is dreadful. Even before COVID, you know, I've been studying the media for years, and I've often talked to people about why, you know, I used to give talks, but I would speak to people about why the media, why the papers, why the news programmes, why they're full of dreadful, awful, horrible stories day in, day out. And I can only conclude, and I don't know this to be a fact, it's my guess, that that's been a deliberate policy over a couple of decades, just to keep us in a constant state of agitation, I think. I don't know. What do you think?
I agree with that. And like I've been saying to people, anyone that asks really, that politicians and also the media, they can spin some, because whatever will happen, they can spin it to whatever way they want. And politicians do that for a living. They will literally play up certain events. Like every time there's a terrorist attack, they'll find a way of pushing new powers. Yeah. And the media will have a new campaign about stuff like that. And it's like, you don't have to believe in the most obscure theories of things, I mean, like extreme theories of things, to see how manipulated we can be. I mean, look at the fuel thing last week. That was shocking.
Yeah. Isn't it funny you mentioned the fuel thing? Didn't didn't one news presenter last week, I can't remember, somebody working for the BBC 24 news channel, and I think it's a relatively new acquisition for the BBC, 'twas a young woman, and she dared to put that point to some of the Conservative Party MPs. She said, well, aren't you driving this fear narrative by constantly talking about panic buying? Aren't you kind of perversely, by mentioning panic buying, aren't you panicking people into behaving like that? It's a very good point, that, Liam. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Isn't it a shame that people like that are the exception, not the norm? I mean, how amazing would it be if we had journalists actually being journalists?
Asking questions.
I know.
And I can swear,
find it shocking.
It's dreadful. I mean, I can swear on this, anybody who knows me from my days in commercial media, it's very easy. It's a very easy thing to do. Most people, whether they've ever been on the radio or not before, most people know instinctively what the next question should be, whether you're a listener or whether you're in the seat in the studio. They know what they should be asking. But again, there are many reasons as to why they don't, Liam. Can I ask you before I move on, personal, really, I suppose, because I don't know you personally, but does it get pretty down? I mean, do you get pretty down? I ask you because I've had a couple of bad moments in the last 18 months myself where it did kind of get on top of me. Does it properly get you down, or do you manage to kind of shake yourself out of it?
It kind of hit me in a wave. Like, a lot of the time I find myself that you have to laugh at the absurdity of things. Like, even in a shop and you can't hear what they're saying because they've got a thing clamped so close, so tight to their mouth they can't breathe, and then they have to pull it down to talk to you anyway. And it's just little things like that. Some days I'll be laughing about it, and then other days it'll just hit me. It's just miserable, you know, that this existence is that. And the bit that's kind of the hardest for me is the fact that so many of these, my personal way of coping with stuff was that all this is temporary, and whether I believed in it or not, I figured this is things that people are doing temporarily. And it's the ones that they've entirely normalised it. To them, it's just normal now. And that scares me because it's never become normal to me. It's always felt abnormal. I'm focused on doing proper normal things. You know, I'll see a friend. I'll give them a hug. We'll go for a walk. We'll go for a meal if we can, you know, when things are open. And I've never let it become normal or normalised. And I think that's the best thing you can do, is just accept that it's temporary. Even if we have to fight for it not to be temporary, it is temporary.
Yeah. And you mentioned a couple of minutes ago that you're lucky enough to have some people that you can spend time with who are on the same page, that they understand something is going on. I think that's hugely, hugely important.
Yes.
No doubt.
And one of my friends, he's actually a doctor, and he's actually left his job to do something else now because he just doesn't want to be in the middle of it all. And he's just very straight down the line, like the way, just talking about the way they spin things and stuff like that. And just having someone like that to talk to, it means a hell of a lot, you know.
Liam, does he know that something is very wrong with this narrative? Has he expressed that?
Yes. Yeah, he has. And he said things like it's like people are being like gagged, shall I say, not to talk about certain things. And he doesn't go into it in too many details. And I don't want to press him in that, but he's very much, he knows the difference between common sense and spin and fear-mongering, you know.
Shame that guys like and women like him will eventually leave medicine because of it. Liam, that's a brilliant way to start, mate, to be honest.
Can I just say one thing before we go, and I'll leave it to all the lovely viewers?
Go right ahead.
I just want to say to people that we've all had different circumstances and all the lockdowns and stuff came in, and I think that if you want to try to get through to people about the ones who think more lockdowns and stuff should continue, talk about how this one-size-fits-all approach doesn't work. In my personal experience, I lost my mum a couple of months before the lockdown started, so me staying at home was the worst thing that could have happened. And that's just the way the dice fall. No one can predict that. But I think if one thing we can say to others, like maybe to even politicians and our local MPs and stuff like that, is that people are suffering because of these things, and we've just assumed that everyone is able to stay at home and limit their lives and stuff like that. And some people don't have that luxury.
Very good point, Liam.
Can point that out to people.
Especially.
Thank you for having me.
Not at all, mate. Thank you. Thanks for calling. That was Liam. That's a very good point Liam made at the very end there about the one size fits all approach. Because there are those who believe this COVID thing. They've bought into it, hook, line and sinker, haven't they? They've bought the whole thing, right? And they will tell you that you are selfish if you don't wear the mask, if you don't socially distance. They say you're selfish. But what about the impact, without getting into the wider conspiracies with those people? I like Liam's approach, just which is to be kind and say, well, hang on a second. But haven't these measures done terrible harms to people? You know, Liam said his mum passed away before all of this kicked off. Last thing in the world he needed to be told to do was confine himself to his home. Right, straight back to the phones then. Caller, welcome to the programme. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Richie, it's John.
How you doing, John? Where are you calling from?
Bad, mate.
Where are you calling from, John?
I'm calling from Ruthin in North Wales.
Nice to talk to you today, pal. What would you like to say?
No worries, mate. I talked to you about 18 months ago about the bins in Denbighshire being chipped.
That's right, John, you did. And am I right in saying, like, 18 months before all of this began, was it?
Yeah, before all this began. What the fuck?
Yeah, where are we now? Yeah, we were talking. Yeah.
I know. Me and my mate have been talking about this for about 10 years and we didn't think it was going to come to this already. Like, we were, you know what I mean? It's proper fucked up.
Yeah. In a nutshell, John, that's about as accurate a summary of it as I've heard all day, or I'm likely to hear. It is, we're getting there now, going into this winter, when that's we can it, expect mate. It to get the screws to be turned even tighter, I think. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think it will, mate, but you know what, mate? I haven't worn a mask or anything all the way through. Like, I've never been hassled by anybody, like, do you know what I mean? I've never been hassled by anybody.
And that was going about your business, going in and out of shops and stuff, John, no problems?
Yeah, man, yeah, going out in and out of shops, not a problem. I've never had anyone ask me anything. Just walk into the shop with a smile on and that's it.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because I had a couple of incidents over the last 18 months in shops. They didn't get serious now, thankfully, but I did have. You've just gone about your business. I suppose if you just ignore them. I suppose if you just ignore them and walk past people.
That's it, Rich. Yeah. That's it, mate. I do feel sorry for the people who wear the mask because obviously they're scared, but that's it. That's what they want to do. I just want to live my life, do you know what I mean, Rich? And that's what people need to do, I think.
Just say no and carry on as best as you can. But what if it came... Your own circumstances, John, right? You don't have to be... You don't have to give anything away that you don't want to give away. But what about those, for example, that they feel like you and they feel like me? There's no way we're having a jab. We're not going to wear the masks. And all of a sudden, they're told by their employer, well, I'm going to let you go then.
Well,
what do you do then?
I'd tell the employer to fuck off anyway. Do you know what I mean, Rich? I think people need to stop thinking about employment and start looking at Stand in the Park. There is communities out there and start looking at that, because it's no good being employed and people saying, no, you've got to have a job and all that shit, man. I wouldn't do it. No way.
Even if it meant that you were not able to make rent or make the mortgage and you were on the street.
Yeah, I would do that, Rich. I've done myself a camper van and sorted all that out. So yeah, I'd do that, Rich.
Would you? I don't doubt you. I'm pretty sure I'd do the same, to be honest. Well, I know I would do the same. I mean, it's almost unthinkable. It's almost unimaginable. And I don't want to accept that it might come to... You see, I've been having these... I was very, very, very... I was in a very dark place about 9-10 months ago. And then I picked myself up again. Lately, I'm not in a dark place at all. I'm in a good place. But lately, I'm wondering, will it get to the stage where they turn up and they say, look, you can't, you know, we've put up with you now for long enough, John. We've put up with your nonsense for long enough. I've got a constable here with me now. You can do this the easy way or the hard way. We can give you the jab now, or we can escort you to a centre. You see, I would have thought that was unthinkable a couple of years ago. And if anybody had said that, I would have accused them of spreading fear. And I've tried never to spread. I've done my best not to spread fear on my radio shows over the years. But I do believe that there is a chance in the near future, when they're telling you every winter you've got to have a jam for this or a jam for that, that they won't just accept you living in your camper van, or they won't just accept me going about my business, they will say no, for the good of wider society, you're going to have to come with us. Am I mad to think that?
I don't think it'll get that far, Rich. I really don't, because I think
please God,
bring it on, mate. Because there's no fucking way that any of my family are having that job. There's no way, mate. I just wouldn't have it. I'd proper stand up for my family, and if they carted me away, they'd be they'd have to kill
give
me.
Give a good fight.
I'd have it, mate. Honestly. Yeah.
Do you know what? Amen to what you said. Look, maybe it won't ever come to that. You know, I was thinking last year that at worst, maybe we'll have two parallel societies. At worst. Mm-hmm. And then I thought I was being naive. But I thought, if that's the worst, I can learn to live with that. If I'm told you can't go here, you can't go there, I'll just learn to work around that. And I thought, okay. But then I began thinking, maybe that isn't the worst case scenario, the two parallel societies. Maybe the worst case scenario is you've got to come with us, Mr. Allen, or Mr. Mm-hmm. John. I don't know. John, before I move on, would you like to say anything else, my friend? Great to catch up with you again, by the way. 18 minutes.
No, all I want to say, mate, if anyone, if there is a stand in the park in their area, just go to them, because the people you meet there and the community you get is just unbelievable, dude. Do you know what I mean? It is really, really good.
It's been important for you, has it, in the last 18 months, the last 6 months, 12 months particularly?
Yeah, in the last 6 months it has been, mate. Yeah, I've found it's the wide variety of people that are against this thing is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. From school teachers to virologists, the people I've met in the park is just unbelievable, mate.
Maybe far more people against it than we think, maybe. Maybe we should be more optimistic.
Yeah, I know you don't like the word, mate, but Nicky Campbell's and all these people on Sky News are just cunts, mate, you know what I mean? I know you don't like the word, but they are.
Yeah, it's not a great word, John.
No,
it's
I know.
It's the second time in 7 years that somebody has used it. I suppose it was inevitable. Look, I understand the sentiment. They're worse than what you call them, because they know better, I believe. They're worse, but look,
exactly.
Ultimately, maybe we... At the very end, maybe, and by the very end, I mean at the very end of our lives, maybe we've got to answer, maybe. Maybe we do. I don't know that. What I would say to people is, when you encounter these people, violence is not the right... And I'm not saying that you're saying that, John. I know you're not saying that.
I know
that some of these people, they move not far from where I am. They move around. They move around the area where I live. I would say to people, leave them alone, you know. You know, don't become like them. Don't become a monster to defeat a monster. You know?
Exactly right, Rich. The violence isn't the answer.
Absolutely not.
They treat these people with a smile, and they don't know what is happening. Honestly, God, mate, it's unbelievable. Happiness and love and smile, and they don't know what's happening.
Brilliant attitude, John. Good to catch up with you again, mate. It's been a long time.
You take it easy, dude.
Thanks, John. You too. Bye. That was John in North Wales dropping the C-bomb there. Second time that's happened in 7 years. I've never used it on air because it's just a word I wouldn't use on air. It's not to say I've not used it before in my life. I have. I'd be a liar if I said that I haven't. This is your Richie Allen radio show. It's Monday's programme, October 4th, 2021. Do give me a call, particularly if you haven't called for 18 months like John, or you've never called before.
It's your call. Skype. Chat with Richie. Or call 0161 818 2018. If you're calling from overseas, it's +44 161 818 2018. Talk to Richie now.
Talk to me now, and I'll be here for you. I'm waiting for your call. We're back to mobile phones again. Caller, welcome to the programme. Who am I speaking with? That's yourself. Hello? You've not put me on silent, have you, by accident? You've not muted your mic? Hello, caller, can you hear me? We are connected, but it's not going anywhere. Bleeding neck. Willie Eck is like. Try me again, please. That's Chat with Richie on Skype. That's Chat with Richie, all one word, Chat with Richie. And it's 0161 818 2018. 0161 818 2018. If I see that you're in the queue and then your call drops out, I'll try and bring you back, because I'm good like that. You see, I can do that. I can multitask here. If I see your call is next in the queue and then I lose you, I will get you back. It's 01618182018. That is the telephone number if you're calling inside the UK. It's +44 161 818 2018 overseas. But if you're overseas, you really need to get on Skype and it's Chat with Richie there. Caller, welcome to the programme. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, got you.
Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
It's Alan from Glasgow. We spoke about 2 years ago when all this was kicking off.
We have done, Alan. Welcome back, mate. Nice to speak with you.
How are you doing?
Hanging in there, mate. How are you?
I'm really good, mate. I'm really good. I'm actually, believe it or not, we'll get into this, but I've actually managed to get out of my country, Scotland, and flew out the Canaries, which was pretty easy. We can get into that if I can. Unvaccinated as well. So I can tell you about how I managed that.
You went to the Canaries, so you went on holiday and you're back in Glasgow now.
No, I'm actually still here.
You're still in the Canaries? You lucky sod.
I know, tell me about it. 2.5 years waiting for this. But I thought I'd give you a call and let you know how it's over here and over there kind of thing. As you know, my Sturgeon, Jimmy Cranky, has set about with the vaccine passports and basically, what I see now is, if you remember, the word PSYOP was dropped away in the beginning. That was my view of all this. Well, it has not changed, my friend. What I do see is a two-tier society coming. We, like your last caller there, I think he's misplaced the point that us, which are the unvaxxed now, and then there's them, that I feel there's not enough of us, actually. What I'm seeing is, even over here, there's a generation, and I'm 40-year-old, but I feel like people 4 years old are just having the awareness of the rest of it. I feel they're just too dumb, mate, is another word to put in it. You know?
I wouldn't say dumb, Alan. I know where you're coming from. It's just,
I know, it's a hard word to use.
Well, you know, because I do remember pre-September the 11th. I mean, I'm pretty sure that pre-September the 11th, if they'd done this, I'd have probably bought it. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I'd have probably gone along with it and I would have probably had a jab. I know that I would not have wanted everybody else. I wouldn't have tried to, you know, force anybody else to have a jab, but I would certainly have bought this.
I'm no anti-vax or anything. I've got young kids and no choice of my own. My own mother vaccinated me. So I was 25-year-old before I woke up to yourselves and the likes of alternative media. So you can imagine for the last 10, 15 years, my head's been all over the place. So I did see something like this coming. If you refer back to our call to about a year ago, I seen it as clear as day to where we are then now.
To where we are now. And you mentioned the vaccine passport in Scotland. So on Friday last, Friday just gone, the scheme came in. So if you want to go to a nightclub or a theatre or an indoor venue, you've got to have the jab. But they won't begin enforcing it until, I think, a week on Friday. But then they will begin enforcing it, yeah. It's dreadful. It's absolutely dreadful.
Basically, there's a stance already, football being one, because there's a demand. One example being Rangers and Celtic Football Club, which is a massive 120,000 season ticket holders, all want refunds. And half and half are maybe a jab, but there's a lot of support that way. But again, they've got a certain class of people who are just pointing the finger at the likes of ourselves, who believe that we are the blame for it all, which is going to continue and split and divide us. This is how they've done it for generations, brainwashing,
divide and conquer,
and just, you know, it's a class.
Wouldn't it be amazing if two football clubs that I don't know of any more partisan football clubs, both of them, Rangers and Celtic, equally. Imagine the fans of those clubs got together and said, look, forget about Fenians and forget about Huns and forget about all that garbage, you know. We've got a common enemy here. We're not going to put up with it. Wouldn't it be fantastic?
That's it, mate. And it's people power at its best, isn't it? It's what we need. It's really what we need. You say no violence, no mass demonstration doesn't work. That's been proven. They just shut us down all over the world. It's media takeover, brainwash, and just psyop fear all over.
Tell us briefly, Alan. Tell us briefly about getting into Tell us briefly about getting into the Canaries and what that's all about before I, because I'm getting a lot of calls coming through. Tell us about that. So you're in the Canaries now.
Right. I basically had to get a simple PCR test, but it cost £60 back home. So something like that to get out. My partner said £85. That's what it was. But that was that singularity. And then back here at €30 home for a lateral flow. That's what I've had to do to get out. But no, nothing else. No passports, no jab, no vaccine passport, none of this. I tell a lie, that a form I filled in, a locator form, that was it. Do the same in the way back home and that's it. But now I'm hearing there's if you've had the flu in the last year, there's a immunity test you can do if you've proven you've had this thing. And we all know it's the flu, so if you've got the antivirus inside you, you don't need none of this. There's another thing I noticed on the forum.
The antigen test.
Yeah. So an immunity test is the way forward, I see, to avoid everything.
Very, very interesting. So when are you going back to Glasgow then?
I'm due to fly back a week, so I've got a week left here. Yeah.
And you know, I don't want to burst your bubble now, because I'm sure you're having a fantastic time with your partner. I'm sure it's lovely there. But but the way things are going, it might be the last sunshine holiday you have, you know, for a while anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're damn right. Well, it took 2.5 years, two of these cancelled before we actually were able to skip out. And it was a week of keeping everything quiet. Because, right. You know, happiness upsets a lot of people. It's just the way it is, you know. And yeah. I feel, well, the vax won't like that I'm unvaxxed in here. There's just a simple explanation for it. It's that my neighbours don't like it.
These are
you know, it's just putting it out there. That's the feeling.
These are things. These are the things we'll be navigating. Well, look, mate, enjoy the rest of your time in the Canaries, you lucky sod, you jammy Baxter. You jammy Baxter over there.
Oh, cheers. Yeah. Thanks again. That's good to talk, mate. Thanks,
you too, Alan. Thanks, mate. Lovely to hear from you again. Alan from Glasgow, who's in the Canaries, he took a PCR test, didn't he, to get out there. And look, I know that some of you will be like, oh, I can't believe it. Look, we stayed in the country. We had a week in Cornwall. Near the river Fal, didn't we? Yeah, that's where we were. We couldn't fly anywhere anyway because we've got a young dog, and one of the things we wouldn't do is we wouldn't put our dog in kennels. We wouldn't do that because we just wouldn't do it. Right, I just wouldn't do it. It's for other people, but not us. We prefer to take the pooch with us on holiday. But yeah, I don't think I'd be going for the PCR test. But that's not now in any way to criticise Alan. Sometimes when you gotta go, you just gotta go. Caller, welcome to the programme. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, Richie. It's only me, Bernie from Warrington.
How are you doing, Bernie?
We spoke about a week or two.
We did. I can't believe it. I should kick you off, Bernie, because I said I wasn't taking anybody who called in last time. But because it's you, I'll give you 2 minutes. Welcome back.
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
You know what? I don't want to keep you, lad. Listen, have you seen all this business about stuff going down on the internet today?
I know Facebook is down. Yeah, and somebody mentioned that Twitter was momentarily down. Facebook is still down. What do you think is going on, Bernie?
Do you know what, lad? I've been researching this for many, many years. You won't believe, honest to God, all this stuff. I know what's going on behind the scenes. I see it, I read it, I watch it, and stuff that's hidden from us on the mainstream media. I know what's going on.
Do you think they're setting it up for an internet outage, not just Facebook, but to bring down the internet from time to time?
Well, I do indeed. I believe there's a new Starlink thing going up in the sky.
Satellite,
yeah. And I believe it's a big switch over. It's going to stop our terrestrial stuff, I believe. Or I don't know. They said the 5th to the 15th. Now, it's a day early from what I've heard. So I don't know. We don't know everything. But I've got to tell you now, I did laugh my head off at the start of the show tonight with the idea of you getting chased by the Rothschild hounds and the dogs.
I know. Poor Ken, I had an email. For anybody who doesn't know, if you came in late to the programme, a lovely email from a guy called Ken Genuine. He wasn't being sarcastic. And he suggested that I go and ask the Rothschilds what's going on. I should go and doorstep the Rothschilds. That's right, yeah.
I know.
Because they're taking visitors, apparently. That's what Hayden Hewitt said to me. They must be taking visitors. at the moment. Yeah, I wouldn't know where to begin, Bernie. I wouldn't know where to begin, to be honest.
That did make me laugh. But you know what? I've got something else funny to tell you. Well, it's not that funny, to be honest. It's a bit weird and spooky.
Go on. I'm going to give you 60 seconds now, our kid, only because I've got to take on newer callers. Go on.
I've got an old neighbour here next door. He lets his dog out every day, and I hear the dog and all that. Anyway, about 3 days later, I hadn't heard the dog, and I thought, oh, knock. So I took six eggs round, you know, hello, all that. Anyway, when he opened the door, he was all right, and I was made up. But there was this loud music playing, and I said to him, I can't hear you, lad. What's that noise? And he shouted, Alexa, shut up. He's a scouser like me.
Alexa, shut up.
This Alexa, shut up, and there was no noise. And I thought, what?
This
anyway,
is where
he says,
it's
come
going.
Here, girl, I'll give you a cup of tea, come on. Anyway, he goes in, and I said to him, here, lad, you know that Alexa thing, it's fantastic that you've got. Just ask it, does it know who is in the room with you right now? So he said, what? Anyway, he told him again, and he said, Alexa, this scouse accent, who is in the room with me right now? Oh, wow, Richie, I had to fight my life. It says, your next door, in the room with you right now is your next door neighbour, and her name, and give me proper name. Bernie's not my real name. It's not.
Okay, so it gave you a real name. Now, are you pulling my leg now, Bernie?
Or no, honestly, I nearly fell over.
So he says to Alexa, he says, Alexa, who's in the room with me right now? And the machine said, it's Bernie, your next door neighbour, but it gave your real name.
It did, and I tell you what it does as well. It looks at your body heat and all that business. It can tell you. Oh, we're at the flight of my life. I couldn't get out. So I said, yeah, there's them eggs. You have them eggs.
And off you went. Okay.
And I liked it.
Bernie, we'll talk again. I want to hear from people on that. Does anybody else have one of these things, these Alexas? Does anybody know anybody who's got one? Get on to me and let me know. Bernie, lovely to hear from you again. You're not coming on next week. Lovely to hear from you. Bye for now. That was Bernie. If you did call in last week, don't call in again. The reason I do that is obvious. Obviously, we try and give as many people, we try and get as many new callers on as possible so it doesn't sound parochial, you know, because it isn't parochial. It's the most listened to independent news radio show in the world. It really is. We get calls coming in from all over the world. Here is the jingle again if you missed it.
It's your call. Skype. Chat with Richie. Or call 0161 818 2018. If you're calling from overseas, it's +44 161 818 2018. Talk to Richie now.
And just before I take a call on, I'm learning as I go along. I'm going to the messages on the website. So it's richieallen.co.uk. Comment live. If you don't want to phone in for whatever reason, you don't have to, of course. You can leave a message where it says comment live on my website. Ron, that's Ron and Jean. Good evening, Ron and Jean. How are you both? Ron says, Richie, you know how old I am, but if they turn up on my doorstep to give me the jab, it would be a big mistake. And I don't doubt it, Ron. I don't doubt it. Hi to John Parsons. How you doing, John? He says, Richie, on wearing masks. The only issue I had was when me and my two lads went to Tesco to renew our phone contracts, all unmasked. My issue was that I hadn't a clue what the young girl was saying. I had to ask her to remove her mask, which she did gladly. Yes. Yes, John. There was a gentleman who's always polite, and he works for a major supermarket. And once a week, not always, because the drivers do vary, but sometimes he delivers some groceries to us, right? And he wears a mask. And when he stands at the front door, he reminds me of the Speaker of the House in the United States in Washington, D.C., Nancy Pelosi. Or is she the ex-speaker? Maybe I should keep up, maybe. But he was inhaling the mask as he was speaking to me. It was obviously a struggle for him to breathe with the mask on. And he's standing outside a house in the frigid air, because it was chilly on Saturday evening. And there he is, and he's inhaling his mask. It couldn't be healthy, dear listener. Hi to Louise Mercer, who says the antigen test is the lateral flow test. You mean the antibody test. Thank you, Louise. You're quite right. Absolutely here. And hi to Lula, who wants to comment on the stand in the park crack. I went to my local one on the beach in Tynemouth, but there was nobody there. I'll have to try the Newcastle one and hope that someone turns up. Good to hear that people do actually go to theirs. Yes, the feedback I've had on stand in the park has always been very, very positive. Kerry says, Richie, I envy John, who has been able to carry on as usual, no mask, no problem. At the risk of sounding sexist, I think it may be easier for men, particularly if they are fairly big. As an older woman, I carried on going into shops until Ireland started imposing fines for not wearing the masks, and I got frightened off. But I also know others who have had a hard time when not wearing one. Thanks, Kerry. You're quite right. Absolutely. Yes, I tend to agree with that. If you're a big old baldy Baxter like me, you've got your head shaved. I look like, the cheek of me to say that Chris Whitty looks like an extra from the Hills of Eyes. I should look in the mirror maybe. I can look imposing at times. I'm a big tall guy and I shave my head. I properly shave it. I get out the handheld razor and I shave it down. And why do I do that? To look intimidating? No, I don't do that to look intimidating. I am more comfortable with it shaved completely off than I am with the Friar Tuck look, where you do the 0.5 with the razor and you shave it right down, but you can still see the areas where the hair grows no longer. I'm not vain now. I've never been vain in my entire life. Good God, no. Not at all. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I just feel good shaving it. I am aware, of course, that can look a bit intimidating because I'm a big, tall drink of water. My pal Patricia Braunschweiler in Switzerland, in Zurich. How are you doing, Patricia? I've asked this before and I'll ask it again. Does the Nuremberg Code stand for anything? Why don't more people stand up for their rights? Nuremberg Code outlaws forced medical procedures, including vaxes. Any medical procedure or therapy that you don't want to participate in, you have the full, free and unprejudiced right to refuse. Period, says Patricia. Amen, Patricia. You're absolutely spot on. It is 17 and a half, nearly 18 minutes past the hour. I am going back to the phones in a minute. Don't forget, you don't have to phone me. I'm on Skype. The Skype handle for this programme is Chat with Richie. It's all one word. Chat with R-I-C-H-I-E. Chat with Richie, R-I-C-H-I-E. I'm looking forward to hearing from you today. Back to the phones. Caller, welcome to the program. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Richie. Can you hear me up there?
Loud and clear. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Steve Allpress, Richie.
Ah, Stephen, how are you? Are you well?
I'm really well, Richie. Thank you for asking.
And I mean it, pal. Yeah, good to have you on, Steve. You know the drill now. You've got the floor, pal. What would you like to say?
I'd like to say a couple of thank yous first, if I may, Richie.
Go right ahead, Steve.
Well, the first one's for you, mate. Amazing. Just amazing. I'm so pleased we have your light in this world because you don't know what you mean to people. You're a beautiful soul. And the fact that you know Mark Bajerski is a beautiful soul, so are you.
Great guy, Mark. Look, you're very kind. And I don't deserve that. I enjoy making radio programmes, Steve. I've always done that. And I'm not the worst guy in the world ever. But I don't think I deserve that type of praise. But thanks for saying so anyway. I enjoy doing this every day. And as long as I do, and as long as there's enough support for it, we'll carry on. But I understand, mate, these are difficult times. And it is nice to have a place to go at 5 o'clock where we can have a chat. I get that, Steve. Thanks for your kind words. I really appreciate them.
No problem. And my second thank you is to Mark Bajerski and Leila Sati and all of the beautiful people that I did the Pure Energy Healing course with, because without them, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Tell me, I know Mark, obviously, as well, and you mentioned Leila, didn't you? I briefly chatted with Leila on Skype, but didn't speak to her personally. We just had this is before a meditation some time ago. Seems like a lovely, lovely person as well. Let's stay with this for a minute now. This is fascinating. So you did the Pure Energy Healing course with Mark. Before doing that, where were you in terms of, were you developing an interest in energy healing? Was it because you had been unwell yourself, Steve? You don't have to give away too many details if you don't want. What led you down that path?
A multitude of things, but mainly it was an unfulfilled career. 30 years in pharmaceuticals and in science. And when COVID hit, I knew it was nonsense. Straight away, my intuition told me. And I'd made it richer. I had my own business, freelance scientist, world with my oyster, and COVID hit, and I thought, I can't work in this industry. It's killing people.
Is that right, Steve? So as this began, you were right bang in the middle of mainstream medicine, right at the beginning of it.
Yes.
Tell us more about that. We're all ears. We're all ears here. What happened? Was there a day, was there an incident in particular that it was like a light bulb going off for you?
It was literally when the first lockdown came. I'd just finished a contract with a company in Ashton Underline. I won't name the company, but what I will say is the people that I worked with were amazing. It was the best place I worked at and the worst place I worked at. The people were beautiful. Everyone that I worked with was amazing. But the company was a nightmare. So, anyway, I finished the contract there. And then the lockdowns came. And I just thought, no, this is not for me. I've been following you for years. I've been following Mark for a long time. And I knew I wanted to do his course. And I had money in my company. And I thought, right. You do it now. You do it now. You set up as an energy healer and let's just jump into the unknown. So that's what I did. And Mark had put a video out on YouTube and it was his, it was just describing the course really. And I just thought, I've got to do this course. And I looked at my company funds and I thought, I can't afford it. And I posted up on his site. And Mark, you know this, Richard, that Mark just gifts things for days.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm well aware of it. I'm well aware of it. Absolutely.
And I just put a comment on and I said, Mark, I've walked away from 30 years in science. I've studied for years, got a chemistry degree. I've been all over Europe, all over the UK. I've worked, probably been in on most of the pharmaceutical sites in the UK, either as a scientist or an engineer, and I need to find my path. Anyway, he got back to me. He said, it was either Mark or a member of his staff said, please contact the Pure Energy Healing Academy. So I did do, and I thought, let's go for it. Richard, he came back within a quarter of an hour. Mark wants to gift you a sponsorship to do the course. I just burst into tears.
He's done more selfless things for people than Bob Hope, than the late, great Bob Hope, the comedian. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. It doesn't surprise me at all. I have all the time in the world for Mark and the people who work around him. And what a change for you. So you leave that world. And what would you have heard from colleagues of yours, former colleagues, co-workers, what would they make of that, do you think? You swallowing the red pill, I suppose, for want of a better way of putting it.
It's been a very matrixy day, Richard, all day today. So that's a great analogy to use.
Yeah.
I have some colleagues that know who I am and they can't wish any better for me. And then other colleagues that just think I've completely lost my mind. But that's fine because I don't really care about that. I care about people's well-being. That's my concern.
So when you were in this world then, so you were on these pharmaceutical company sites and you have your chemistry degree, you knew, were you, during your career, you knew something was wrong. So were you doing the best you could during those years, as a scientist? You know, even knowing that something deep down was wrong, with the approach to medicine, the traditional approach to medicine, of course, I know in my bones that it's wrong because it's all about managing people's symptoms, but it's not about identifying the root cause of it. and helping
them. And that's where the fire energy healing comes. Sorry to cut across.
No, do cut across me. You know more about this than I do. Go ahead.
That's the benefit of the pure energy healing. In my experience, you go into the root cause. With pharmaceuticals, they're sticking plasters, and they're not very good sticking plasters. They're kind of, if you know the really crappy sticky plasters that you buy, and they're on for 2 minutes and they're coming off, that's what pharmaceuticals are. There are some good ones. I'm not going to rubbish it all. I'm not going to make this a polar argument.
Yeah.
But some people do benefit from pharmaceuticals. But
yeah, but don't forget, Steve,
There are healing modalities out there that are just completely just censored.
There's no doubt about that. And I became, I suppose, when I went on my own, if I hate to use the cliche, journey, but when I did, you know, I became very curious, Steve, about when the media jumps on something and labels it, gives it a label and says that it's junk science or it's, you know, it's fairy dust, it's magic, it's hocus pocus, all this sort of stuff. And when they criticise it, I always become fascinated. Why is the media so determined that people don't get an introduction to energy hearing? Yes, absolutely. Well, of course, the advertising is bought for by many of these companies that you would have rubbed shoulders with. Of course, they jump all over. You remember a couple of years back what happened to Noel Edmonds when he got talking about frequencies and healing. Noel Edmonds, one of the most successful television presenters in UK history. And he was talking about using energy and frequencies to heal the body.
I didn't know Edmonds had done that.
He was.
So, and thank you. I'll look that up.
Yeah, he was endorsing, and he wasn't getting paid to endorse it. He was endorsing a mat that somebody had brought out. And the mat could, currents could be run through the body and energies. And Noel was saying, you know, this is very good. It's proven to help with pain management, and it's proven to help with this and that. It all sounded very reasonable to me now, it must be said. But they went for Noel Edmonds. They tried to destroy him. I mean, you know, you'd ask people to be curious about that. Why are they going after pure energy healers? I'm not saying he's a healer. Why are they trying to hide this information from people? And they go to great lengths to do that, Steve. No doubt about that. Well, you know now, don't you?
They've done the same with cancer, haven't they?
Well, that's right.
They've done the same with cancer. You can only treat cancer with radiotherapy.
With radiotherapy, And you, as a broad—I mean, not me, obviously—but broadcasters in this country are not permitted by law to interview people who claim to have some success using alternative therapies.
Well, that's not science, is it?
No. No,
it's not. The scientific method is to pull in data from every available source and go with the best answer.
Yeah.
That's what science is.
I interviewed
my experience.
I think you're right. I interviewed a lovely lady called Carol, who wrote a book. I was introduced to her by Peter Ebdon, and she took part in a controlled experiment. You'll know about this in the National Health Service some years ago, that proved that healing works.
It definitely works. I know because I've
seen it with my own eyes.
Enough sessions to feel it.
Yeah.
And the thing is that every healing session is different. That's the beautiful thing about it. I don't want to take up too much of your time, Rich, because I know that a lot of people want to get on.
They do, but this is a lovely little meander, this conversation, Steve, because it's hugely interesting.
I'm more than happy to come on and do like a full segment with you, Rich.
Be nice, mate. Yeah, I've been talking to Mark and to Peter Ebdon and to Carol about doing a special where I get people that, you know, like yourselves on to spend a couple or even 3 hours chatting about it, and almost like an introduction to it. And I would facilitate listeners maybe asking questions and stuff. So that's something I'm annoyed because I promised I would do this months ago and it hasn't materialised, but I do want to do that. But Steve, lovely to meet you and thanks for coming on, mate.
Right. Can I just say one thing, Rich?
Go ahead.
I'll be as quick as I can. I'm going to give some free energy healing sessions out to the listeners. If they would like to donate to the Rich Allen Show, it doesn't matter what the amount is. It's completely at their discretion. And I'm more than willing to give free energy healing sessions. I'll give 10 sessions out free of charge. We can either do it over Zoom or I can come over to you and give you a healing session.
Steve, beautiful gesture that, and I mean that. Can I get back to you on that? The reason I say that is that we use Patreon because PayPal obviously is coming after the independent media. And if I do that, which you've suggested, they'll come after us for gaming.
Okay.
So well, we have to have a look. Exactly. That will definitely do that. But the gesture is greatly appreciated, Steve. It really is, mate. Thank you for saying that.
It's my pleasure.
And thanks for reaching out to us. That was Steve. Lovely to have Steve on the programme today. Let me give you the contact details again briefly.
It's your call. Skype. Chat with Richie. Or call 0161 818 2018. If you're calling from overseas, it's +44 161 818 2018. Talk to Richie now.
It is interesting. It's 29 minutes to the top of the hour. It's interesting. Not a single Skype call today. It's all UK. And it's mobiles and landlines. You can Skype the programme. Chat with Richie is my handle. It's Monday's Richie Allen Show with me, your BBG, live from BBG Towers in Salford. Yes, landmark. I don't think so. Back to the mobile phones. Caller, welcome to the programme. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Richie. My name's Liam.
Liam, welcome. How are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. Very well.
Where are you calling from? Liam?
I'm calling from Cornwall.
Ah, Cornwall, Liam.
Yeah, I'm right on the edge of the moor, and it's been a bit bleak today, but I'm looking at getting up there tomorrow.
Fantastic.
And, get some fresh air in the lungs.
Beautiful.
But I just wanted to hop on to the last two callers, really.
Go ahead.
Especially the last one. Where I'm at with my homework and experiences and whatnot, I'm seeing that we're at a crossroads at the moment, and we go down the route of an AI dystopian world, and you can see it through everything in our lives, be it the way we heat our house, the way what we put into our body, the way we entertain ourselves through black crystalline screens, and it's just sucking us into this. They want to pull us into this virtual reality where we're just puppets, essentially, and we're at the stage now where, you know, with this the technologies that they're bringing out, it's going to totally take away our divine spark, for want of a better term, a soul essence. And then leaping on to your previous caller, I mean, if you're a believer in energy healing, if you're aware of an energetic etheric presence, then what's to say that's not all around us? Something's communicating with us all the time. I mean, all you got to do is look at some of the indigenous community stories about how, you know, the Aborigines could go into dream time, these people that are so connected with the earth, they can tap into this etheric energy, for want of a better term. And the way they're pulling us is just taking us so far away from it. And the reason what I wanted to ring up and mainly sort of my little point was, like, I think this number one step that all of us can do is taking ownership of what we've put into our bodies. And I know people can say, yeah, that's great. But even by the way we look at food, so much of what we call healthy food is not even real. It's been made in a lab. It's been created by man. It's not from nature. So in every levels, we're being sort of slowly taken down the road into an artificial life. And I think the first way to step the other way is taking ownership of the food. And if I can take a plug, look into a chap called Dr. Sabi. That guy changed my life. And if he was still alive, look into the way he died. But if he was still alive, I'd kiss his feet, because that man is an absolute genius. And
tell us about how. Tell us again, Liam. What's his name again?
His name is Dr. Sabi. He's a Honduran chap.
How do you spell that?
Dr. S-E-B-I.
S-E-B-I.
And his inspiration is a German called Arnold Ehret. They both talk about the same system of healing, except Dr. Sabi incorporates more herbalism with it. But Dr. Arnold Ehret, he's from the 1940s, and Dr. Sabi, who died in 2017, If you think they're shills, just look into the way they both died, and that should be enough for anybody that's half awake to say they were on to something here.
Well, I don't think anybody. This truth or nonsense where everybody you don't agree with becomes a shill. I hate this crap. It's rubbish. This behaviour of truthers. I'd be very interested to check these people out, even though Dr. Sebi is dead. What you're saying, I think, and I've heard this before over the years, indirectly, if you took somebody who has swallowed the other pill and they believe in the scamdemic, they believe it and they believe in the jabs, if you take somebody like that and if you were to overhaul their diet and get them away from processed foods and crap and eating healthy foods, that the awakening would happen in spite of what they might do. It would happen naturally. They wouldn't be able to stop it.
Richie, like, well, this is going to get pretty far out, but the proof's in the pudding, and that's all I can say on this one. But
no pun intended.
With all this, with all the processed foods, our bodies have been contaminated with parasites, be it fungus, candida, or be it tapeworms or flukes, and it's totally natural. People think, oh God, parasites, but it's totally natural because the parasite's there to break down what is not naturally occurring in the body. So if you're eating unnatural foods, the parasites are just doing what nature intended for them to do. And the more and more they colonize the body, the more we become. So if you've got a soul, if people believe that we've got a soul or a spirit, the more another conscious being incorporates the body, so the more a fungus, which is a living thing, takes over the body, the more it pushes you, the soul, out of the vehicle. And this is why, and it's got to a stage now through generations of eating terrible foods. This isn't a thing that's happened in the last 50 years. This is I'm a fellow, my father's Irish, Richie, but the truth is, the potato is not a real food, mate. It's that there was given to the Irish as slave food, mate, to make the meal. It's not a real food, mate. If you look at how the Irish survived the famine, especially on the coastal regions, they did it through sea vegetables, and they found that the Irish that were eating the sea vegetables, just stuff like dulse, sea moss, kelp, they were healthier and far more, and they lived longer than the English that weren't eating that. And then they tried to slag them off, saying it was poor man's food. But the truth is, it was bloody good for them. And it all comes down to what we've been fed. It's been made in a bloody lab to keep us in slave mode, to keep us when we say asleep.
The food is crap. I'll give you that.
I'm more in the lines of, no, we've got parasitic beings, totally natural, they're doing their job, but it's got out of balance, out of sync, to the point where they're pushing the human consciousness out, and it's perfect for the people that know what they're doing to come in and hoodwink.
Just before, this is really interesting, Liam, it really is interesting. So before I move on, listening to you, obviously what comes to mind straight away is the plan to grow artificial meat and all this stuff they're planning, which they're very open about now. This lab grown meat, which is mad stuff.
It's called seitan, Richie. Some of this one of the flowers that they've produced is called seitan. Now, I ain't putting nothing called seitan in my body.
No, me neither. Me neither.
You know what I'm saying?
There must be a better way.
Yeah. People are putting something called that in their body. It's like, surely something's clicking, saying, why is this called seitan?
And don't forget, they're bringing GM crops into this country via the back door. They've renamed them.
About that, Richie. I'm down in Cornwall. I get on really well with a couple of farmers down here, and they're scared, Richie. They're scared. Their farmers are seeing all these grants for this green eco space.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go plant loads of meadows. Let's go plant loads of trees. Meanwhile, the Americans are buying up the land. The Americans have bought Morrison's, and they're seeing the rug to get pulled from underneath them.
Well, you know, one of the things the farmers down there and everywhere have got to be worried about. They've got to be worried about what happened in the United States, is that when this government allows GM edited food in this country, and when they allow it to be grown in this country, you will have cross contamination. So you'll have a good farmer, and all of a sudden he'll get sued by some arsehole company, some biotech company will sue him and say that his produce contains their intellectual property because of cross contamination. They did it in America, of course, and they bankrupted farmers. They did it in India, and thousands of farmers committed suicide. This is unimaginably evil. I didn't even cover this last week because it's going to be an ongoing thing. I'll be covering it in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, these are the things we have to be thinking about, really.
Well, what I'd turn around and say to that, Rich, is, you know, what we're calling food, like not just your fake meat, but stuff like one that everybody knows is carrots, right? Carrots, if you find that in the wild, the original carrot is something called a Queen Anne's lace. Now, a Queen Anne's lace and a yam was crossed in Holland to produce a carrot. Now, that is not natural. That does not come from the earth. That's been created. All your beans, check out a guy called Gregor Mendel. Gregor Mendel, any bean, be it black bean, kidney bean, navy bean, that guy created it. So what you think is a natural food that grows in nature, no, some guy, or well, some...
Liam, I'll have to look into this, because so much of this goes right over my head. Some of the things you're saying there, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I just don't know. I'll have to look into some of this myself. Yeah. It sounds fascinating.
Look into Gregor Mendel.
It sounds fascinating.
All I'll say is, the more natural your food, the more food you eat that doesn't need the help of man to
the
grow,
better you are.
The more in touch with the new etheric energies you'll be, because that's where we are. We're at the crossroads now, and there's higher energies that are desperate to get in and not to connect with us, but for us to assimilate, to evolve. And that's what they're shit scared of.
Liam, lovely to hear from you, mate. Thanks for the call.
Adios, amigo.
Cheers, buddy. That was Liam in Cornwall. Very interesting that. You see, I can't argue with Liam about taking one strain of carrot and crossing it with another one, and then I just don't know. Yes, I don't know any of that. I'd have to check that out. You see, it's gone over my head. It might be something you know. If it is something you know, give us a shout, or get in touch with me through the website richieallen.co.uk. I think Liam is absolutely bang on. I think there is a real connection between what has happened to food, the processing of food, and how we eat food and what we eat compared to what we used to eat 40, 50, 60 years ago. No doubt it's related to many of the health problems that people have today, problems with their gut, as he said, autoimmune problems. I have no doubt he's right about that. Obviously, obesity and other issues, no doubt. I have dabbled in these issues over the years with various people, various callers. Let's get let's take another quick call there. Caller, you are live. Who am I speaking with? Hello? Caller, turn me off in the background there and I'll turn you down while you turn me off, and then we'll have a chat.
Doing it.
Is it turned down? Who am I speaking with?
My name's Wendy.
Wendy?
Yeah.
How you doing, Wendy? Welcome to the programme.
I'm not. I'm in the bad place you've been in.
You're not feeling... doing well, Wendy?
I'm not.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm a targeted person. Nobody speaks to me in my neighbourhood. I'm totally under the common purpose, whatever you call them. Everybody watches me as though I'm a bloody, thief, or I don't know what they've said about me. Are you still there, Richie? Oh, Richie.
And do you have anybody to talk to, Wendy? Do you have anybody you can chat with and...
No.
Just yourself? You live alone?
Yeah, I live alone. I'm 76.
You're 76?
Well, I'm quite a young 76.
No. That was my point. You don't sound 76. You sound upset. I can hear that.
I am a bit upset.
But you don't sound 76. God love you.
I've slept once this week for more than 2 hours. I think they're just trying to wear me out.
It's just what's been going on.
Yeah, I mean, they're just because the council is common purpose, and the people are like communists around here. I mean, and they've not been speaking to me because they've been told not to.
What do you mean? You mean that your neighbours and the people that you encounter, they're on board with the agenda, basically.
Yeah. So with you're everything. No, they don't know anything. They don't know anything's happening in the world, but they've been told I've done something. I don't know what, you know what they do, like they've done to the doctors.
And you live alone, Wendy, and you take care of yourself.
Yeah, and
you
I've
do.
Been here. I moved in here 3 years ago, and they're all talking to me. And about a month and a half after I moved in, that was it.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. My neighbour next door got paid for it, I think, one of them, because he bought all sorts of goodies. I refurbished his garden, his oil tank and everything.
You think somebody paid the people around you to treat you badly? Why would they do that?
Because I think they were told, you know how they say about these doctors that have knowledge? Well, of course I do. I'm like you, I'm awake.
When you say when you said doctors that have knowledge, are you a doctor, Wendy?
No, I'm not. I've done all sorts of things, but I've done a lot of building. I'm not a big muscular lady, but, you know, G.I. Jane, I used to look like.
You used to look like G.I. Jane.
Yeah.
So you did a bit of physical building then, so you weren't standing around telling people what to do. You were carrying the bricks yourself.
No, I did it all myself.
Did you?
Yeah.
76.
I'm still doing it, funnily enough, because they won't let anybody work for me.
Do you get out, Wendy? I mean, I understand you're not in the best of form and that this is difficult. And I do understand this because I've been there myself. But do you manage to get out at all, just to get away from the house and, you know, spend a bit of time outdoors? Do you try and do that?
Well, obviously I garden.
No, but I mean, get away from the house. I mean, do you get to go to your local park? Do you get to go and play
bingo? I don't know whether there is one, to be honest, Richie. I've never, obviously I live in near a river. I mean, I live near the boating in, I don't really know, I'm in Norfolk.
But that sounds lovely.
It would be, if everybody was nice.
But see, this is the problem that we have to kind of navigate, don't we? You know, I'm speaking to you, you're in Norfolk, I'm in Salford. I know that the great majority of people around where I am, Wendy, they're not interested in hearing another point of view on COVID. They've, like we said earlier in the programme, they've swallowed it and they believe it. But I kind of have to try and find a way not to allow that get me down or get on top of me. And I don't always succeed at doing that because it does get me down from time to time. But we've got to kind of, if we can kind of break through that, don't we? And accept it. I mean, what's that old prayer we used to say? What did alcoholics say years ago when they used to go to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings? Didn't they say the prayer of God give me the strength to change the things I can, is it, or something like that? And the courage to understand when I can't change things. I'm butchering it now. But we have to make peace with that. I can't tell you what to do because I don't know you. But you need to make peace, don't you? Right.
Yeah.
You're lonely there, right?
Yeah, I am. And my kids have all had been zapped. They don't believe it either.
Did that come between you and your children?
It's not particularly. Well, my son maybe, but not my daughter. She still speaks to me, and she's as good to me as she can be, but we're miles away. So
too far away.
I get to see her once in a blue moon, to be honest. Probably every 6 months or something.
Now, are you... You're obviously tech savvy, Wendy, so...
Not very.
But you're online, right?
You know you've got somebody that does your computers for you.
Yes.
I just bought a new computer, and I honestly can't do anything with it. I don't know how to. I can't start it up or anything. So I just bought it because they mess about with my computer so much. I don't know when they're trying to tap me at the moment. I don't know what they're doing at the moment. I keep getting horrible naked pictures of women and all sorts of things coming up. I'm not, because of my building, I'm not totally poverty stricken. I am prepared to pay somebody to come and do a really good job on my new computer. The young man that does anything with your, have you got anybody that does
me?
Anything?
Well, my engineers are all local, but most of the things, when it comes to computers and software, I can do most of it myself anyway. But I'm sure if you were to go online, you'll find somebody locally in Norfolk.
So,
you must be able to find somebody down there, Wendy, that'll come along and sort you out.
I'm too frightened to bring them in the house.
Right.
I really am. You know, I mean, I don't know what these people, I mean, these common purpose people are communists. I don't know whether you've heard of them, have you?
I have, yeah, I've heard the term, and I think over the years it's come up once or twice on the programme. People like Mark Windows, of course, so yeah, I'm familiar with the agenda, of course I am.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're pretty vicious, you know. And I am absolutely positive that currently they are trying to do me in now. Because they've started putting ammonia in our water.
They've started to put ammonia in your water. How do you know that?
Yeah. They sent me a letter to tell me.
I've had a message from Nelly.
Sorry?
I've had a message on the website from Nelly who says, tell Wendy to phone the Silver Line. It's a phone number. It's 0800 470 8090, and it's a free phone line for elderly people who are lonely or need some advice or need to have a chat with somebody. It just comes through. 0800. Have you got a pen there? You have.
Yeah.
So it's 0800, and then it's 470.
Yeah.
80 90. Do you want to call that back to me now so we know you have it?
0800 470 8090.
There you go. The Silver Line. Nelly has just sent that to the website. So give it a try, Wendy. And listen, can I just say this, because I do mean what I'm going to say now. I'm not much now for soft talk, Wendy. I don't mind telling you. I'm not much for the soft talk at all. But my heart goes out to you. It can't be easy being there by yourself and with your daughter being so far away that she's not just a quick drive away.
I don't drive very far anymore.
Yeah.
They've fiddled with my car since I've been here.
Don't sweat that too much, Wendy. I'm not sure there are people fiddling with your car and stuff.
Yeah, they all... I had a brand new battery when I got here. And it went down every day after this man next door started messing. Until I had it put in the garage. They had it for weeks in this garage and things under the bonnet have changed.
You might want to set up a camera system or something on the outside of your house, some sort of a security camera that might catch anybody if they were doing anything like that, you know. But Wendy,
well,
look,
I'm
just about to close out the programme. Give Silverline a ring and do me a favour. When you go back online, send me a message through the website saying who you are and let me know how you get on. And don't...
I'm not very good, you see. I've tried to get in touch with you before. I can't use it.
That's fairly straightforward now. You don't even need to have an account on the website. Just where it says contact Richie, just drop me a message. Look, I'll tell you what I'll do, because I can see it here now. I'm going to make a note of your number, because I think I've got it on display here. And I'll get back to you and ask you how you got on. But do give the number a ring that Nelly sent. And do try and get, because you're able-bodied, you're in good health, you said you've got muscles like Popeye from the sound of it, from the building and stuff.
Well, not anymore. There's 76
now. 76 is no excuse. Get off your backside and get away from the house a bit. Spend a bit of time outside. Not in the garden.
The only time I stop is when I'm trying to sleep at night.
Well, you look after yourself now. Mind yourself.
2 hours a night isn't enough.
Well, I'm your brother there when it comes to sleep. Wendy, look after yourself. Mind yourself. Do give that number a call. And I've got your mobile number. I will send you a text message to ask how you've gotten on. And mind yourself.
So do you know where this number is?
It's for an organisation called Silverline. It looks after people who are on their own.
Yeah, but not very... That will try and put me in one of these bloody
homes. No, nobody's going to try and put you in a home at all. No, it's a confidential helpline. So it's a bit like the Samaritans, but not. It's for elderly people who need a chat, give it a ring.
Oh, but I know about Medazzler. And this guy here has been given 20,000 to do away with us in care homes.
Well, look, that's another issue. And I won't argue with you there. I won't argue with you there. We've covered that on the programme. But look, this...
I'm not vaccinated. I am probably the only person around here that's not vaccinated.
You've not had the jab. No, but this number you're going to ring, if you do ring it, nobody's going to try and put you in a home. I can't see how that would happen. Wendy, good luck. I've got to close the programme out now.
Okay, thanks, Richie. I've been dying to talk to you anyway.
Well, I'm glad you got through, and I mean that.
You should have come on holiday. I'd have rented a boat to take you out on.
That'd be nice, Wendy, eh? Looking out the studio window here at Grim and Grey Salford, I could do with a bit of a boat trip. Wendy, you take care, and bye for now. That was Wendy there ringing from Norfolk there. And that took a bit of courage, that, I think. It took a bit of courage, that. God love her. I hope she does give that phone number a call. And I've made a note of her number here, so I'll get in touch with her and see how she's getting on. Thanks to all the callers this evening. I appreciate you. I really do. I've enjoyed listening to you. Back with you tomorrow at 5 o'clock UK time for the, well, for Tuesday's programme. I'll have some guests. We'll have some news. And I'll be, I'll be here. I always am. Going out with Dire Straits then. Until tomorrow at 5, take care of yourselves and one another. Bye now.